Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, y'all. Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today's sponsor is audibletrial.com/letstalk. All right, how y'all doing, man? I hope everybody's having a wonderful day. You know what day it is, right? Do I have to tell you what day it is? Do I need to tell you what day it is? That's right. You know, it's what? It's hump day. Yes, sir, buddy, that's what day it is. And I'm glad that it's hump day. That means some of you only got 2 days left in the work week. And I know some of y'all probably has had some very hard week, 2 days so far. So it's all good. It's all good. All right. Today is Wake Up Wednesday. And now we're going to talk about Wake Up Wednesday, man. I don't know about Wake Up Wednesday. It's something, it's open conversation. But, of course, you know, I'm going to bring a couple of topics, you know, to the front. And we roll from there. We roll from there. I guess you can say it's sort of like a Freedom Friday. You know, once we get to rolling, no telling where the train is going to go. But I'm still at the helm, so I can control most of it anyway. But anyway, regardless, welcome to the show. Now, if you want to be a part of the show and participate, and that's have your voice heard live on the air, or you can also join us in the chat room, just have your comments, or send me an email. And by calling in, 347-838-8622, and I'd be more than happy to bring you in and hear your voice live on the air. That's right. You know, some of y'all like to hear yourself talk anyway, so this is the perfect platform for you. I guess I shouldn't have said that like that. Also, we have our email, ericletstalk@gmail.com. If you don't want to put your voice along, you know, call in, you can send me an email and just put on air next to it, and I'll go ahead and read it for you. There's no problem. And then we have our chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And we always have a great conversation going there as well. You know, and there's also links that's placed there. And, I mean, all kind of information is coming out of the chat room every day. Sometimes I have to actually print my chat room out just to make sure I get all the information. So that's what we do here, man. I'm telling you, and it's such a great thing. Now, if you're feeling kind of leery because you say, "Well, I listen to them other shows," and maybe let me break it down to you. Here on Let's Talk, we do not dibble. We don't do the disrespectful thing. We don't do the talking over each other. We don't do fighting back and forth. That's not what we're about here. We're about open dialogue with each other. And hopefully, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, how can you always talk, but you never come up with a solution?" Well, the first part of coming up with a solution is having a conversation. Now, granted, 2 hours is not a time just to have a conversation and come up with a rock-solid solution. That's not going to happen, okay? And with that being said, so we have to have a conversation, but we have to be able to not only talk to each other, but listen to each other. And I think that's where a lot of times we fall short, because we don't want to listen. Soon as someone opens their mouth and say something that they disagree with, you know, "Oh my goodness, it's on. You know, I can't do that. It's on." No. So you stop listening, and all of a sudden you're thinking of your response to counter what this other individual has said, which in essence limits your listening ability, because you're no longer listening constructively. You are listening offensively. Yeah, so, you know, but back to what I was saying, you know, we don't do that here. We require everybody, you know, the profanity. You know, we don't do the profanity thing. Every now and then one may slip, but they, you know, it's not a ram, wham, and we don't use the B word, the N word, the C word, the G word, the Z word, the P word, the O word, J word, the I word, anything that's derogatory toward any derogatory toward anyone, we don't do that here, okay? So feel free to call in. You are welcome. I welcome everyone. I do, you know. In fact, I'm feeling so good today. I'm about to make a major announcement. All bands are off. So by chance, you know, I got mad at you for doing something. I have, you know, it's lifted. You know, you want to come back, come back. Okay, that's on you. All right, so anyway, so that's what's going on here on this talk. And, you know, I have a great co-host in Cloud Nation. I don't know if he'll be here today. He's a busy man. He's a busy man. But, of course, I have my listeners. And for everybody out there listening that I do not see, thank you for coming to the show. Because you are really appreciated. Yes, you are. Because I understand, you know, you could be doing something better than tuning in and listening to my little crazy self talk. So thank you, and I appreciate it, okay? All right. It's my house is in the house. I see your brother. What's going on? Then we got guest 822 in the house. And on the switchboard right now, we got Pianca in the house. Pianca is in the house in area code 313. Thank y'all for coming, man. I'm glad you can make it. All right, so we do have a quote of the day for you today. We do have a song of the day. I had to go back a little bit, but, you know, a lot of times when we're talking on the shows, we talk about so many interesting things, and I think this song of the day really brings the point home as to how many, many, many of us feel. All right, but first, before we do that, let's get on with the quote of the day. And the quote of the day is like this: every man must walk his own path. It is good to get advice from others, but what may have worked for that person may not work for you. Learn from others, but walk your own path. And that was written by Chrisney Gaynor. Yeah. What y'all think about that? I think that's a smart thing right there, you know, because a lot of times we'll get advice, and if we really don't know what our path is, we'll try and take that path the way they did it. As I say, you know, a lot of times it just don't work that way, because it may have worked for them, you know, that's fine, but you can always learn from it, that you do. You know, I heard a minister say the other day something that made a whole lot of sense. A lot of people can't get to the future because they're too busy. A lot of people can't make it to the future because you're too busy stuck in the past. You know, you worry about things in the past, which instead of making you go around in circles here in the present. And while you're going around in circles in the present, you know, your future is beginning to pass you by. That's interesting. You know, that is very interesting. So, you know, get your own show and play the song, Pianca. Leave me alone about that song. I play it when I feel like it's appropriate. Now, leave me alone. I don't know why they be coming over trying to run my show. But anyway, so that was your quote of the day. And let's see what else we got going on. That's about it right now. And so what we're going to do, we're going to knock this song the other day out of the way. Then we're going to come back and talk about some topics and some things that's going on. So don't you go nowhere, enjoying the music. And all right, and I'll be watching you. It is your song of the day.
Watching me.
how many of us feel like somebody's always watching? Isn't that what we say a lot of times? Big brother is always watching. Yes, sir. Rockwell, huh? Somebody's always watching me. I feel it. I can see your eyes on me. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. That means I must be doing something right. That's the way I feel about it. All right, anyway. Oh, Bianchi, I'm going to find this song. I'll play it one day. So, welcome to Let's Talk, y'all. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and today is Wake Up Wednesday, and we're going to do some things, some talking about some things. And if you want to get in on the conversation, 347-838-8622, I'll be more than happy to have you on. And let's have some fun. I see my chat room coordinator has arrived. The quiet one, Miss Antoinette. Hello, Antoinette. How you doing? Okay, we got a couple of more guests there. 822-846. Year ago, 1 month. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. All right, so here we go. Let's talk about some things, y'all, because it's time to talk. It is. Now, first thing I want to talk about. And I brought this forward Monday about the Afghan soldiers, the three Afghan soldiers that supposedly went missing, okay? So apparently they may have been found on the Canadian border, trying to get through to Canada. Why? I don't know. Some speculate that they may have been trying to defect. Okay. Why Canada? I don't know. But anyway, that's where he was found, apparently, trying to cross into Canada. But on their way there, apparently, they stopped by a strip club. Now, I'm thinking about this, and the young lady said, they were so polite, and they were having a good time. I bet they were. You know, you know. So, if they are stopping by strip clubs and trying to go to Canada, I don't know, y'all. I think them guys was just out trying to have a good time. They were tired of being stuck on the base and, you know, being corralled. So maybe they were telling the truth that these guys really weren't as bad as we wanted to make them. But I think that is so funny. I really do, that they stopped by the strip club. Oh, Lord have mercy. Mm-hmm. And some of the married men around here can't even stop by a dang on anything, but they can stop by their strip club. That's a good thing, man. That was the funny moment of the day. Of course, we haven't found out what else has happened since then, but that was what happened then. And, you know, things are what they are. So that's all. I just wanted them to talk about that real fast. I guess they're back where they belong, and everybody else is doing whatever they're doing, and we'll find out. Afghan. You know, the Afghans have a new president now. Yeah, they have a whole new president. That's the interesting part about it. Oh, and did you know that the Afghan former president, you know, he made a heck of a statement on his during his speech on the way out the door. And this was what he said, that the United States doesn't want peace. They don't want peace. You know, if that was the case, they could have been had peace. You know, and I found that very interesting for this man to say that, especially because of all the lives that's been lost by our service members, you know, from over there serving, and all the money we done put in into that country. Yeah, think about it, man. We didn't put a whole lot of money into that country. And it's amazing that nobody's really, you know, it goes back to what we were saying. What in the world? Oh, anyway, you know, so it's amazing that it's crazy. Hemet Karzai, that's his name, Karzai. Let me pull this up real fast and see. I'm going to read exactly what he said with this man, Karzai. And you know, there was a big tiff between Karzai and the United States anyway, how to run the country. Let's see. So he basically was calling the United States out and Pakistan, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, because everybody was saying he was a part of corruption and actually became part of the problem. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how I got to that one. I got something else. They talk about a big old house that he has. I don't want to know about his house. I really don't. But anyway. Yeah. Karzai slams U.S. government policy in Afghanistan. I'll get that in a minute, y'all. I get there. I'm getting there. You know, you when you're using this technology, it gets you sometime. Okay. Karzai, who lost to President-elect Ashraf Ghani, accused the American government of spending the past 13 years focused on its own interests instead of what was best for the Afghan people. We don't have peace because Americans didn't want peace, he told a gathering of government employees. If the U.S. wants Afghanistan to be a good friend, it needs to match its words with actions. Now, here's an interesting concept with that. What else should the United States do? I mean, we're over there. We supposedly be defending his country, right? We you know, we fighting the so-called Taliban over there, and then he gonna get on there and say that? Well, if I'm not mistaken, you know, that's like this idiot Rick Perry in Texas. You know, they're good at wanting to blame other people, but he's the president of the country, just like Rick Perry is the governor of Texas. So why are you trying to, you know, trying to place blame on someone because people didn't want you in office anymore? You know, Karzai wasn't always a favorite of the United States government either, you know. But, hey, some people would go for it. You know, so for him to get up there and all of a sudden start throwing accusations, it was very interesting. Very interesting point of view, you know, and thing to do. You know, I don't know whether he, you know, that's just a bug stuck in his craw or what have you, but that was interesting. And with so much going on right now, why would you do that? You know, kind of makes you think that he was the enemy all the time. America needs to put their money where their mouth is. Well, dang, we done spent, I think the total is like six, yeah, you know, and it's actually a little bit more than that for Afghanistan. So, you know, not to talk about redo infrastructure and, you know, resettle certain areas, because you know when the military go in, they're gonna build their own anyway. So, which means, you know, they actually over there doing a little work building their country. They're putting the country back together. So for him to stand up there on his way out, I think was I don't know how credible it was. It's just more revenge, I think, revenge talking than anything. Because he was just upset because he was out of office. and he can't collect any more of that great American money that's coming in. And I think that had a lot to do with it also. You know, because some of these folk, these leaders over there, you know, they want American help because they get the money and they can do what with the money as they see fit. Of course, we know politicians. We have our politicians that do the same thing, you know, and they have money. They're involved in certain companies that are overseas. So, you know, whatever. Let's see. Pianki says, Hamid Karzai is an honorable man. What interest I say against what interest does the average U.S. citizen have a strike in his stake in his country? Right now, a darn thing. So why are we even over there then? You know, I'm not going to get into that with you, Pianki. Why are we even over there? There's got to be a reason why we're over there. You know, you know, he's an honorable man, because Karzai was not that honorable. Trust me, he was involved in his share of corruption. So don't, yeah, you're right. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, because that's the way it was. So now, once again, we have someone else there. We're going to see how you think you are by what is heard on the media. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so I just want to put that out there, you know, we're going to come back to Washington for a moment, because there's something else I want to talk about also. Now, remember Monday I talked about this young man that jumped the fence and got in the White House, and, you know, he got through the front doors of the White House before he was contained. Now, originally it said that he wasn't armed. He didn't look like he was armed. And he was carrying a folding knife in his pants pocket. Now, that's what they said. He was carrying a folding knife in his pants pocket. Okay? And this knife is a Spyderco VG10, little folding knife. Okay? With a serrated it's a folding knife that, you know, most people take out to hunt and fish and stuff with. So that's what he had. That was the original report coming out of D.C. Now, give them a couple of more days, and we have a whole bigger story now. Apparently, he has his car was found. And he had 800 rounds of ammunition. Yeah, ammunition in his car. And had been arrested July with a sniper rifle and a map of which the mansion was marked. Okay. Let's see. Police supposedly found 11 guns, including rifles and shotguns, in the car when he was arrested. Listen to this. When he was arrested in July in Virginia for reckless driving. Okay. They found 11 guns, including rifles and shotguns, when he was arrested in July. He also had a map of Washington tucked inside a Bible with the White House and the Masonic Temple in Alexandria circled. and they also told the judge that officers found more than 800 rounds of ammunition, two hatchets. In August now, he was stopped but not arrested while walking along the south fence of the White House with a hatchet in his waistband. Y'all following all this? Now, the prosecutor told that Gonzalez's preoccupation with the White House and accumulation of large amounts of ammunition renders him a danger to the president. So they don't want him to have any type of bond or anything else. Now, who's more of danger to the president right now? Is it people like Omar Gonzalez, a 42-year-old former soldier suffering from PTSD, living in his car. You know, is he more of a problem, a threat to your president, or is it their own Secret Service agents and the law enforcement? Because, look, this guy was stopped in July, y'all. July, where the police found 11 guns, including rifles and shotguns. You know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. How does that happen? But you released this guy. You let him go. You let him go. Then again in August. In August. July, August. Okay, I want to make sure. July, August. July, August. July, August. Okay, all right, right, right. In August, he was stopped but not arrested for walking along the South White House fence with a hatchet in his waistband. Once again, why wasn't something done then? Eleven guns, including rifles and shotguns, walking along the South White House fence with a hatchet in his waistband. And that didn't raise any red flags for anyone? You know? So who's more of a threat? Is the so-called protection detail that is supposed to be protecting the first family or what have you? Or is it these people jumping the fence? I mean, it's weird. How? Okay. All right. I said I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say this. How does young black men get shot in the middle of the street, armless, no weapons, you know, and they're gunned down? But here's a guy riding around with ammunition, rifles, shotguns, walking around the White House with a hatchet in his waistband, and nobody out. Understand that. You know, I don't understand that. Why wasn't this man arrested, you know, in July? You know, why wasn't this man arrested in July? It's interesting, quite interesting. But now, you know, I want to give him 10 years. You know, it is funny. It is funny, but it's not funny at the same time. You know, because, you know, you really have to sit back and think about this thing. July, August, and now September. 3 months. 3 months. 3 months before you decide you want to do something with this man. Virginia, you arrested him for reckless driving. But what about all the weapons? Now, here's another interesting story. Because if there was a carload of young black men driving around, and they had 11 rifles and shotguns in their vehicle, do you think they would still be out here walking around on the street? This ain't... And let alone talking about the SWAT team would be out there. It'd be national news. And what's really going on? What's happening, y'all? Once again, we get to see what's happening. But do we really pay attention to what's being put out there in front of us? Yeah, I know some of y'all say, well, he really wasn't. He was more Hispanic or, you know, so what? So what? 11 guns and rifles. More than 800 rounds of ammunition. Walk around the south fence with a hatchet in your belt. And that didn't raise any red flags for anyone. Man, I'm telling you, we are in trouble. We are. We're in trouble. Because what is considered to be our so-called protection of the people that are supposed to be protecting us, they're not doing that. Oh, I'm sorry. Unless you have a darker pigmentation than the normal folk, then, oh, yeah, they're going to handle that for you. Oh, I shouldn't be saying that. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. But that's the way I'm looking at it right now, because that is the way it seems. You know, if the common Joe around here right now or in your neighborhood had a half a joint in the car, and they were of a darker pigmentation, I guarantee you have at least 3-4 cars right there. And he's going to jail. He or she is going to jail. So why didn't this guy go to, you know, remain in custody in July? It's not like he wasn't, oh, I forgot. Oh, man. Oh, I'm hitting myself in the head. I forgot the NRA. I forgot about them folk. That's why he didn't go to prison. The NRA. They stepped in. I probably believe they stepped in or somebody was supporting them. But I'm not understanding, though. 11 with rifles and shotguns, over 800 rounds of ammunition, hatchets, a pocket knife. Was he going to live off the land? Maybe that's what it was. He was going to live off the land, and he got disoriented. And no, because he said he was going to tell the president that he felt the atmosphere. That's interesting. But it is what it is, right? Right? I guess. We'll see what's going on with that. We'll check back in on that one, too. You know, I'm telling you, it's it's just a crazy story. I'm not understanding. Now they beefing up security at the White House. Well, duh. Well, I thought it was one of the most secure places there was. I guess we don't know what much we think we know, huh? Yeah, I know. All right, one other thing before we get to talking about our act. I mentioned this before when we started talking about domestic violence with Ray Rice and all those other guys. And I mentioned this before. So I had to go on. Now, apparently, the main media has picked up on this also. So, you know, it's more prominent right now. But Hope Solo, she plays for the U.S. soccer team. Goalie, she's supposed to be pretty good. You know, she has been accused of domestic violence also. Of course, she pleaded not guilty to 2 counts of misdemeanor domestic violence in an alleged assault of her half-sister and 17-year-old nephew last summer. Now, that puts an interesting, a very interesting spin on this, on domestic violence. Even though, now, it's amazing. She plays for the U.S. soccer team. She's a female, and by no means is she a small female, okay? Nobody's talking about this. Why? It's because she's a woman, and she jumped on a woman and her nephew. Does that make it any better? Does that make domestic violence any better? And here's the other thing. 2 counts of misdemeanor. Misdemeanor. But if I'm not mistaken, Ray Rice and what you call it, we're going to be charged with felonies. What's the difference? And why is she still playing? Now, why is she still part of United States of America's soccer team? Once again, that just goes to show how differently this law is interpreted when it comes to men and when it comes to women. I'm sorry, didn't mean to run y'all off. And it's very interesting because, you know, report her one time for domestic violence. But you're not hearing all that. But this other guy for the Cardinals, what's his name, Rainey? He is finna come out the practice squad, be put on a 53-man roster, get ready to play, and they let him go for stuff that has happened in his past. In his past. But here's Hope Solo. She's still got her job going. I'm not understanding this. Yeah, I know a lot of y'all don't remember Nequa Holeslaw, great female basketball player. Now, she got into it with a former WNBA player, Jennifer Lacey, who was supposed to be her ex-girlfriend. And this child fired a gunshot at the SUV after breaking the windows. She pleaded guilty to 2 counts of aggravated assault, criminal charges in the first degree, 2 counts of criminal damage in the second degree, and possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. She was sentenced to 3 years probation, ordered to $3,000, and must serve 120 hours community service, the newspaper reported. She must also avoid violent contact with Lacey and continue and complete anger management. Now, here's a question. She must also avoid violent contact. Now, me and you, us here on the line, and we're talking here, I think we avoid violent contact. We do that on a daily basis, don't we? Don't we? I know I do. So why all of a sudden they make it seem she must avoid violent contact? That is so, then the only thing she had to do was pay $3,000 and serve 120 hours of community service. Well, if I'm not mistaken, Ray Rice did what he had to do. He took a plea deal where he go to a preventative program. He got suspended 2 days by his employers. And everybody rose and made a big stink about that. But once again, is this another case of how differently society views domestic violence? Because this was woman-on-woman violence. So that doesn't really count. Am I right? Is that really where we are now? Is that doesn't count? If it's not, if it's a man beating on a woman, then we should all be upset and hoop and holler and try and get them fired and lose their jobs. You know, bring certain people onto our organization to help us come up with new plans and ideas to deal with it. But you got to start a U.S. women's soccer team. I don't see nobody hooping and hollering trying to turn anything like that or, you know, doing anything about that. But you got these other guys, and they just got those sitting out and wait because the public is outraged. We are outraged that these men can do this to these women and nothing happened to them. Well, we have examples right here of women doing it to women, family members, and things of that nature. And nobody is saying anything. Nobody is saying anything. Once again, the hypocrisy of our government and our society is just sometimes just astounding. Just astounding. You know, we do all this going on, you know, and then some things are good, certain things. Wait a minute, didn't we go through that before? Yeah, we went through that before. Well, one group was treated differently than others. Oh, once again, I am sorry. You know why you really can't do anything about that? Because that goes against the LGBT community's agenda. And nobody's willing to go up against that. They are too powerful. They cannot be stopped now that they have infiltrated our society the way they are. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me, all right? I'm just putting it out there the way I see it. It's my opinions. You know, you don't have to be with me. It's just my theories. All right. So, anyway, I just thought I'd put that out there as well. Because there's a whole lot of craziness going on. And like the saner it sounds, the crazier it is. And you know the bad thing about this, I'm going to tell you what the real bad thing about this domestic violence stuff that's going on, besides the actual domestic violence itself. The main ones who are saying anything or pushing it are women. I say, well, they should. Yeah. But the majority of them, you know, like I know the majority of them, some get wrong, they smacking the heck out of their husband, the girlfriend, or whatever. But they're not going to say that because right now we're living in a perfect society. And that's basically what they sound like they want it to be now, a perfect society. There was a coach in Texas, a high school coach, and his team was losing. So he had them huddled at halftime on the sideline, and he said, y'all need to wake up. Y'all are playing like F-its, okay? F-A, you know, the two letters in the middle, O-T-S. And a parent heard him. And now they want him to lose his job. You know, another example, well, coach prayed before a game with the soldiers. Now they want him to lose his job because it may have offended someone. Really? Really? They may have offended someone. So now you can't pray. You really can't say anything that's off the cuff because you're insulting some people or you're offending them. But when did we become a perfect society? When did we become perfect? When did we do that? When did we become so good at what we do that we can require people to say things certain ways, don't do this, don't do that, and if you do, we're going to have you fired. When did we become that perfect? Honey, on the currency that they use and on a lot of government, I'm going to say it again, on a lot of government documents and things like that, you have those magical words, in God we trust. But you can't pray in public. You can't pray in school. One kid was kicked out of school because they brought a Bible to school. You brought a Bible to school and you had to go home. What is going on with us? What is it? Because whatever it is, it's not right. It's not right. It's not. You know, so I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there, man, because it's an interesting, very interesting scenario project now or society that we are living in. Everybody want this to do this, do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. You can't walk here, you can't read there, you can't run here, you can't say this, you can't say that. So what can we do? What can we do? I don't know. That's a good question, huh? I guess live under the scaredness and the political correctiveness that is there for us to follow. You have this guy in D.C. Karzai in Afghanistan. You have all that. We spending money like crazy, sending $500 million to fight Ebola. Ebola. But we cannot even balance a budget here in our own country. People, something is wrong with that. Very, very wrong with that. But it's okay, because I know it's like, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't have anything to do with me. Okay. As long as you keep believing that, you'll be okay. All right, so let me bring interesting. 111 into the show. Hello, 111. How you doing? Who do I have here?
Boring.
Boring. Oh,
boring. Boring.
Okay. Whatever. That was cute. Too bad I couldn't understand what you were saying. All right, let me bring 302 in. Hello, darling. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that.
Oh.
Well, you know, you were speaking about the teachers.
Uh-huh.
You know, you notice that it's still increasing with these teachers having sex with children. And it's the females. What, I mean, not that you can answer what's wrong with these females, but what is wrong with these women that they got to mess with these children?
Well, most of them aren't that old. Well, I can't say that because some of them are kind of old. Well, they look old anyway. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you can say that oh, Lord.
It is terrible. And
yes.
They worry about a child carrying a Bible to school and praying.
Mm-hmm.
And I always told my children, I said, look, nobody can stop you from praying. See, you can pray without being heard, you know, because you're not praying for, you know, for it to be heard by people.
Mm-hmm.
You're praying
right
to God. So, you know, bow your head and bless your food.
Yeah.
No shooting.
You're right. And you know what? That goes back to a story I brought last month, I think it was, about the young ladies meeting in the mall to pray before they did their power walks. And the mall manager told them they couldn't do that. You know. And it's just amazing. It's amazing because you're like, really? What are we, you know, when did we become perfect? You know, when did we become such perfect?
You see, you're stealing my mother's line.
Your mother was
alive. No, but have you noticed, my mother used to tell me that children, and I wasn't perfect.
Yeah, well, I think we all feel
a terrible thing to tell your daughter. She was supposed to tell me I was perfect.
Yeah.
But you notice, Mr. Talk, they took prayer out of school.
Right.
When did they do that? In the late 70s? I remember in school we still had prayer, but we didn't have, you know, the over the intercom prayer. But, you know, you had that 3 minutes or a minute or two of silence.
Yeah.
You know, so you prayed, you know, you just, you know, people didn't want to salute the flag. They just sat down. You know what I mean? It wasn't no big thing about it. And we even had elective for Bible courses.
Oh, wow.
You know,
really?
For those that wanted to take it, yeah.
Okay.
And that was in the late 70s when I was in high school. You know, I mean, it wasn't mandatory, but it was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But they took it out of school. They took prayer out of school. They took God out of school. And you notice how crazy it's gotten now?
Yes,
every place they take God out, they have more chaos that comes in.
Yep, more, a whole lot more. And
yes.
You know, and thing about it is, you know, some people would say, well, the students are bad, but it's not all the students anymore. I was looking at a documentary.
No, really, look at the teachers.
Yeah, I know.
I was looking at some of these teachers.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was looking at a documentary today about some school in South Carolina where they called a SWAT team in and things just because they had a hunch that somebody was dealing drugs. You know,
oh, my.
And,
a hunch.
And, yeah, a hunch. You know, but come to find out, they didn't find in. They even brought the dogs in to sniff these people bags and clothes and things, and they didn't find anything. You know, so the more prisons they need, the more the schools are going to become the prisons. It's simple.
Yes. May I address someone in your chat room? Years ago, I don't know what school you went to, but in 1962, prayer was not taken out of school because, as I said, I was in high school in the 70s, and we didn't have prayer then, but we had the moment of silence. You know, God wasn't taken out of school. And I don't need to do my research in that. I lived it, so I know.
Nah,
now, whatever state you live in, then you have to deal with that. Okay, well, if you feel so, I don't know what I'm talking about. This is Mr. Talk Show, but I would like to extend your invitation, if he doesn't mind, to call in and we can talk about it.
Boy, you know what? You saved them then because they was about to get the bye-bye. But okay. Boy, did you save them on that one.
I mean, you know, yeah,
look,
the Supreme Court ruled it in 1962. I mean, I know in the late 70s when I was in high school that, you know, we had the moment of silence and, you know, you could still take Bible courses. But it was elective. It wasn't mandatory.
Right.
You know.
You know, it's funny, though. And I think I spoke on this yesterday. You know, how when people put out information or have, you know, conversation or whatever, there's always those that want to interrupt and start something different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the funny and the interesting thing about it is they're not man or woman enough. I ain't got no problem calling them out to come on the air and say what they have to say, you know.
Yes.
Or if they do come on the air, you know, they got these little games they want to play. You know, like I tell them all the time, and I tell them again, you know, I'm a man about mine, so you need to be a man or woman about yours. You know, all these little snide remarks or what happening, that don't bother me. See, that's what you fail to realize.
No.
That does not bother me. You know, because you know what I do when y'all do stuff, I get a good laugh out of it.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, so do what you want to. I mean, you know, you can.
Well, the grown man crying must be you years ago. So years ago you were 11, you must still think you're 11 today.
I guess so.
Okay, Mr. Talk, now you can tell him bye.
Yeah, I just said, all right, Mr. Beasley, you can say goodbye. whatever. Yeah, I don't know why, you know. And that's how you
I love that. I love hearing that bye-bye. Look, I stay on all the way to the end of the show listening to the song just to hear the bye-bye.
Wow. You know, but that's a shame. That's a shame because, you know, they so busy trying to get at you, they don't even realize the table's been turned on them, and I get upset, and then they come out calling names and carrying on. But they're so dumb and narrow minded to where they don't even realize that just happened to them. That's crazy. Let me bring Chris. Let me bring Chris. All right, Chris, welcome to the show, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks a lot.
Hello, Chris.
How y'all feel? Hey. All right.
Huh? I feel wonderful.
Oh, that's beautiful. You know, I was listening to, you know, as soon as I called in, he was talking about, taking, the schools are taking religion out of the church. And not that I'm getting ready to say anything bad against, I respect all religions, but it's a suggestion. What I think a lot of parents should do with their children that are young, getting ready to leave kindergarten, and that have children right now, that wants to put them in school or place them into another school, ask the school, what are your religion views and policies on praying? Before you decide for your child to go into the school, talk to the school, the principal, the person who's giving the tour, just ask a few questions. And one of them should be, what is the school policy on prayer? And if they come back with, you know, what you might not want to hear is, oh, we don't pray, then because that might not be the school for your child. Because a lot of us, including myself, you know, my kids are grown now, I've fallen short with not knowing or asking the right questions. So we just, stay on point with asking those questions that as far as the religion is concerned, you know, because a lot of parents are kind of upset about that. I'm noticing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just ask.
Just saying.
Before you get your child into school. That's it. I'm doing
the sound. Well, okay. Chris, I mean, I see what you're talking about. But in a lot of instances, there's not, even if you do find out and you know you don't have the resources to take your child to another, school. But why do you in society? Why do we have to ask that question? You see, you understand my point? Why do we have to ask that question?
I understand because it's a reality that schools don't want it in their prayer, and you know, different denominations of children coming to the school, and I don't know. To a certain degree, I can see where they're coming from. Well, look, we can't have prayer because everybody don't pray the same way. So let's take it out. Again, not that I'm for it. But that's how a person that's thinking on that side about taking prayer out to school. So let's just take it out completely because we're going to hear, you know, this religious community say, we don't do it this way versus then here comes this religion. You know what? Just end it off. And that's how I was with my children. You know, both of them be arguing about something in the household. I said, you know what? Just take it off. I'm just going to take it away from both of y'all. You know, because it seems like y'all can't get along.
Right.
But... So I mean, I wouldn't have a problem. I'll say, oh, okay, you know what? This is your school, it's your establishment. I'm not the owner of the school. I understand that. I personally wouldn't, you know, do a march or a protest or nothing about it. But I would definitely do a little writing and find out a little bit more about what are the laws and policies of religion in school, or hey, can my child, is it all right if they can step aside and have a place of their own somewhere where it's not in public? Like the lady said, well, you know, you don't have to let everybody know that you're praying. That's when I came on to the line. Just, you know, in secret, keep it to yourself, and, you know, just step aside. Can my, you know, sometimes we negotiate, that can be worked out too, you know, with the school.
Let's see. Now, see, and here's the argument that's going to come from that. A lot of school systems have implemented what they call a zero tolerance.
Whoa.
And you know, it doesn't really matter as far as, you know, what you're asking for, because they feel that if they allow you special access, you know, acts of kindness to do that, they're going to have to do it for everyone else, which in terms is going to violate, I'm serious, it's going to violate the zero policy. Well, I've read some stories where one girl passed a fingernail file to another one you know, to clean the dirt from under his nails. The girl got expelled because they said she had a dangerous weapon. You know, kids running around on the playground. You know how we used to do back in the day, making weapons out of the finger, bang, pow, pow. You know, they suspended those kids, and it's just amazing at the schools, what the schools are going through. You know, and what the kids are going through. We weren't even talking about the school, what the kids are going through.
Okay.
You know, so it's one thing to say, well, we can do this, but if they're not willing to give on their zero tolerance policies, then, you know, what can you do? I mean, you can, what you can do, I guess one solution would be teach your child how to do self-meditation. You know what I mean? That could be one if you know you have it, yeah, teach them to do self-medication. I mean, meditation, you know, to where if they get them before, you know, class start, whatever, just, you know, find somewhere private and do your morning prayer, what have you, and you'll be all right. But I still think, you know, I'm going back to what Antoinette originally said. You know, I don't know what's wrong with the teachers. Maybe it's that they're coming out of college, and you know, they're getting these jobs, and they're not too, their age differences in a lot of cases aren't too far from what the teenagers are, and you know, they just think they can get away with it. You know, because in most cases, if you notice now, they really don't say who pursued who, and a lot of times it's the teachers that pursue, especially the women that's pursuing the young men, and the parents are the one who's turning them in, not the student, the parents. So I don't know, man.
Well, I have a true story, and it is the teachers, you know, they have flirtatious ways, and I was part of a situation like that. I was 17 going on my senior year, and the English class teacher, she was about 22, 23, and it started off with, you know, just really sarcastic kind of conversation, smiling and laughing, and then it started with her touching me on my shoulder with, after class, she would, you know, have maybe a button down, and she would, you know, hey, baby, oh, that's cute, you know, little small innuendos, and it would lead to, you know, all right, baby, you take care, sweetie, you know, it's the conversation and what I'm trying to say. So, that's appropriate right there as a person in a professional position talking to someone else as a student. That's how to get started. You know, if my name is Chris, if I'm not addressed as Chris, anything else other than that is lines for, you know, something to happen, you know, as far as, well, hey, baby, sweetie, what's up, sugar, what's going on, ma, even like, what's going on? It should be hello, sir, hello, ma'am. Anything outside of that, it starts. And we got together outside of the school and everything, but I look back,